Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Welcome to Cool Kids Cook with Kid Chef Eliana. Get ready to explore the foodie world with one of the youngest published cookbook authors. We'll share tips, techniques, recipes, and speak to some of the world's top chefs. Now, here is your host, Chef Eliana.
Welcome to the program, Cool Kids Cook, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, a cookbook author, foodie, and your show host. Here's what's happening with me. I have a game on my Facebook page called Figure Out This Food. I post a close-up of a food item, and the first few guesses get a shout-out here. So congratulations to Cray Davis, Liz Bernard, and Rita Abear from Louisiana for guessing lettuce, and it was actually green leaf lettuce. Let us celebrate! A national daytime talk show has contacted me for a possible appearance in February. Hopefully it works out. When everything's finalized, I'll let you know. Now, it's time for our interview with Von Tranen of Tranen Culinary. Chef Von D. Tranen was born in Detroit, Michigan, and reared by his paternal grandparents, who were the first to introduce him to the delights of food and cooking. The next step in his culinary journey led him to New Orleans. After studying at Delgado Community College, working at the Ritz-Carlton, and graduating from the John Falls Culinary Institute at Nicholls State University, he worked with New Orleans restaurant teams that were ranked top in local and national listings. Then, he traveled to Europe to learn from the best chefs, including Chef Alain Ducasse in Paris, France. He even had the honor of working for the top chef of the President of Paris. Today, Chef Von balances his efforts between traveling the globe with his private clients and training culinary. His new line, The Traveling Culinarist, is the next chapter for this unstoppable chef. Chef Von, it is a pleasure to have you as a guest on Cool Kids Cook.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. And thank you, Chef Elena.
Eliana.
Eliana.
You're welcome. Well, first, let's talk about your grandparents. How instrumental were they in shaping your love of food?
That's a great question. But first, I want to thank you for having me on the show. And most definitely, congratulations on all your success.
You know, thank you.
Book writer at 12, I was most definitely a slacker. When I was
No, I'm sure you're not.
You must definitely set the bar high for the next generation, for sure.
Thank you so much.
I'm really honored. And just reading over your bio, I'm very, very impressed.
Well, thank you. But I think it's time to talk about you.
I know, I didn't want to turn the interview on you. But getting back to, you know, how instrumental my grandparents were. They were very instrumental into me creating this passion that I now have and really love as far as for food. My grandfather himself, you know, he really introduced me to nature at a very early age. You know, we were often spend weekends fishing. We'd go up to Canada, hunt, and for small game, you know, like rabbits, squirrels, and if we got lucky, sometimes we'd hit a bag of a deer, and we'd have venison for the season. So very early, you know, in my childhood, I was really introduced to the love for fresh ingredients. My grandmother herself, you know, we had a garden every season, and you know, we had Whole Foods in our backyard. It wasn't a need to go to Whole Foods, so we always picked fresh vegetables, corn, peas, you know, etc. So you know, very early on in my life, I really learned the importance of having fresh ingredients, and I ate really well, I say.
Well, my grandparents, they also shaped my love of cooking because, I mean, we're always cooking in the kitchen together and, you know, our whole background because I'm like a gumbo. I'm international. I have all these different, I have like Cajun, Honduran, Cuban, Filipino. So, I mean, it's very international. And my Nana, my mom's side has like an herb garden in her backyard. She has rosemary, basil. I want her to grow some mint or cilantro or something. But, you know, I'm actually growing, I have a tiny herb garden at my own house. Mm-hmm. But soon actually, I want to start planting some vegetables so I can have some during the summer. I want lettuces and zucchinis, tomatoes and different fruits and stuff like that. We're probably going to have a hanging garden, the one that you hang from your fence, and then I probably have a small garden bed too. And, you know, my grandparents were a big influence.
That's great, great. It's nothing more rewarding, you know, to, you know, growing your own vegetables, you know, just to be able to just go out and just snatch a tomato off the vine, or, you know, pick peas, you know. It's, you know, as a kid, I didn't understand, you know, it was a lot of hard work during the summertime because we would have to plow, and I didn't like that part. But the reward was the fruit of our labors, and it was just really, absolutely, most definitely an experience. And I was so blessed to be exposed to that experience in life.
Right. And you have a very strong connection to New Orleans. What do you love so much about Louisiana?
Well, you know, New Orleans, I can't know where to begin, but most definitely the history, the culture, the people, and most definitely the food. You know, I enjoyed my time I spent there. I was there a little over 15 years after leaving Michigan to study in New Orleans, and it was most definitely a great experience for me.
And I mean, yes, the food, definitely. We're a big culinary mecca. And, you know, although you were born in Detroit, how did living in the South and cooking Southern cuisine influence your culinary style?
You know, and that's a great question. I have to say, although I lived in Detroit, I was a Southern boy. I didn't realize that, but my parents, you know, they had roots. They were from the South. My grandparents were born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama, and so they migrated to Detroit early before I was born. I apologize, I don't know the exact date, but like in the 30s. But we always, I guess that Southern root, that Southern spirit has always been in me, and most definitely prevalent in our food. So we were always, you know, I consider my grandmother a Southern cook for sure. So I think that migrating to New Orleans, I adjusted quite well because I was already exposed to that style of cooking.
Right. I mean, and you are now a private chef and traveling culinarist. That's so cool.
Yes.
Can you talk about what you do?
Sure. And first of all, I wanted to kind of give you a little breakdown between a personal chef and a private chef. A personal chef, you know, have multiple clients. A private chef just has one client. And I am a private chef, and I work for one family. I've been with this family for a little over 8 years. And what I do is, you know, I do day-to-day menu planning. Also, I cater my meals according to dietary needs if necessary. I travel if necessary, I really just cater to the family needs. It's really awesome. I really love what I do.
And do you travel with family?
Yes, I do. I've been very blessed. You know, I've been literally around the world. I've traveled to France, to China, Israel, Madrid, Europe, all over Europe, up and down the Caribbean. So I've been really blessed to have had the career that I've had as a private chef. And traveling is a big part of it. I apologize.
What is your favorite place that you've traveled to?
Well, I would have to say I really love Europe. I love the United States because, you know, the fact that I've been exposed, and I think everyone should travel, go to another country at some point in their life, and most definitely you'll gain an appreciation of living in the United States, and most definitely love coming home when I do. But I do love Europe, and I love some of the Italy to be direct, and Florence around in that region, Rome. It's really a really great country. I really enjoy the people.
Well, I mean, I'd love to go there. We travel a lot. We always take a family vacation. It's always around food. Food is like our main thing.
Yes.
Always. Well, don't pack your cooking bags just yet. We'll be back just after the break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook, Voice America Kids.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune in to Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana. Let's continue our interview with Chef Von Tranen of Tranen Culinary. Now, being on the road as a chef is challenging, and I know that when I do cooking demos, I have to pack all of my equipment, knives, cutting boards, burners, etc. And you developed a line of luggage that fits everything a traveling chef needs. How did that come about?
Well, it actually came about, you know, working as a private chef, and I was with a client, and I was traveling. And how I would normally travel, I would, you know, pack my suitcases like anyone else, but with all the, you know, needs and necessities. And I would also put my knives in there as well, and other things. And as I travel, I'm a big collector of, you know, spices and cookbooks and things of that nature. So as I would travel, I would collect these items. And 1 year, I came back and all my spices were opened up in my bag, suitcase. It was just a mess. And I just thought to myself, it has to be a better way for a chef like myself to be able to travel with his tools and spices and arsenal and essentials, and without having it such a disarray. Because, you know, as chefs, you know, we are all about mise en place. You know, everything's in place.
Right.
So at this point, I was not living up to the code of being a chef. So I sought out to try to find this item. And once I couldn't find this item very organized and detailed like I wanted, I decided to develop it. And thus, that's how we came about the Traveling Culinaris line.
And, you know, when you packed it in your suitcase, like, did you put your knives between your socks and T-shirts?
Exactly.
Can you imagine paprika all over your underwear or something?
That's exactly how it was. And I believe it was actually curry powder for me.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, curry powder. Stain.
It is stains on top of that.
Right. So I think you might need... I wouldn't want to wear them again.
Awful. I was like, it has to be a better way. So, and I tried to buy something because, you know, I didn't think at the time that it wasn't something that didn't exist. But once I found out it didn't exist, so I kind of just decided to, you know, to develop it on my own. And my Seuss bag was the very first actually bag to our line, and then it just went on from there.
Wow. And now on your website, there are lots of photos of your luggage, and I see that the Deluxe Executive Culinaris bag has global knives in it. I just got a set for Christmas. I love them. And how did you design the bags to include everything a chef needs?
Well, you know, just like I said, you know, I had envisioned, you know, like I said, I'm a collector, so I love my spices. So whenever I travel, so I wanted something where I can have, where my spices would be safe doing traveling. My knives, and you know how sharp they can be and very dangerous that they're being shifted around.
Right.
And my laptop computer, I travel everywhere with. And, you know, and little small utensils. And so I just, in my mind, just vision safety first, you know. And so I came up with these different intricate pockets and customized each section to hold and keep things in place as you travel from locale to locale. That's why when you get to your destination, everything is still in its place, and curry powder is not all over everywhere.
Right. And what do you have planned in the future for your company and your line of luggage? Have you ever thought about creating bags with fun colors and patterns? As a female, I love something that isn't all black.
Well, you're totally correct. And that is exactly, you know, we have some great ideas that's coming to our line, and we are working on some different patterns and styles. But the first important thing for us is strength and stability, and so we try to use patterns and use fabric that's going to give us the strength that, you know, because chefs can be really rough on our tools, and we want our product and our stuff to last for a very long time.
I know. I mean, because my pots and pans, you know, I got a new set for Christmas one year because, you know, mine, I was like, I can't use this anymore. It's all dirty and it took a beating.
Yes, very much so. We do use our tools and our toys, and we like them very much. So I know when we buy something, you know, we like to try to hold on to it and keep it. So I try to implement that in our line of luggage. You know, you only have to buy it once. And so we wanted to the stand up and stand up to the task and the job that you guys, you know.
Right. I mean, can you share with our listeners your funniest or most disastrous food memory besides curry powder on your underwear?
Well, that's a good question. I will probably say, as you know, I did a lot of work at different restaurants in New Orleans, and one of my favorite experiences was Commander's Palace. I worked there under the chef at the time, he's no longer with us, Jamie Shannon. And I came in as a rookie cook, and so, of course, when as a rookie cook, you just get the worst jobs. And this was soft shell crab season. And Commander's Palace, I would have to say, was probably my first real experience as far as a commercialized kitchen. So I was really green behind the ear. And so I go to pick up this, you know, these boxes of something. I pick them up, and all these live soft shell crab. It freaked me completely out. And then I had to go through the process of cleaning each one. And I was terrified of doing the process. But needless to say, after my 1,000 crab, I got, you know, used to it, and I was a regular at it. But it was most definitely a disastrous moment for me, and also freakish kind of thing. It was just really scary for me, but I got used to it, and it was a great experience.
You didn't drop any, did you?
I was very squeamish, put it this way. And the you know about cleaning soft shell crab, you got to cut the eyes out, and I just thought it was just brutal. You cut the eyes off, you got to pull off the gills, and it just snap the tail. It was such a brutal experience. poor thing. And I had hundreds upon hundreds to do that. but I had to get done. So, but it was just funny that I wound up with that job.
Now, what are some of your favorite dishes that you cook?
Well, you know, I love a good, you know, pan-seared duck. You know, it is nothing like duck. I love it. So I think that would probably be my favorite dish. I love it with a great, you know, truffle risotto or wild mushroom risotto with broccoli rabe. And, you know, I think it's most underused. I love broccoli rabe.
Wow, oh, that sounds so good. I wish I could have some right now. But now let's talk about some unusual foods. What is the most unusual food you've ever eaten? Is there a food you would never eat again?
Wow. Well, I did eat that's the stinky fruit, and I know quite a few other chefs.
Durian?
Yes.
I've done that. I've had that as a secret ingredient on my show before. I've talked about it. My mom had it.
It is awful. I mean, some people can, you know, I guess adapt to the taste. I can't do the taste. I can't get past the smell. I can't get past the texture. Just like a curdle, like an egg. Oh, no, I can't do it. No, like, don't put that on my plate. I'm not touching it.
Yeah, well, my mom said it was so stinky, it's hard to get past the smell. And she ate them in the Philippines, because there's lots of them in the Philippines.
Right.
And now, lastly, here's a wacky, off-the-wall food question I ask all of my show guests. What kind of dish would you create with pickles and peanut butter?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, I love a pulled pork. So I'll probably do a pulled pork, kind of my version of a peanut butter mole, something that's similar, and then do a pickled relish served with a side with corn tortillas.
Oh, that sounds so good.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, it makes me hungry. Almost dinner time for me. You know, I might have to try that.
Yeah. I kind of came up, I was just thinking about it. I think peanut butter will go really well with the richness of the pork, and it just, I think it would blend really well. And then the pickles will cut the fat and just really give your palate a great experience.
Mine would probably like a peanut chicken satay with a pickle relish.
Yes, that would be good. The Asians, they use a lot of peanut butter. And also the Africans, they use a lot of stews and with peanut butter.
Right. Well, now, thank you so much, Chef Vaughn, for being a guest on Cool Kids Cook.
Well, thank you. And most definitely wishing you great success in the future. And I look forward to hopefully talking with you guys again.
Well, thank you so much. Now, you've shown us that good cooking starts with family and that every chef needs the right equipment. If you want to find out more about Chef Vaughn Trannan and Trannan Culinary, visit KidChefEliana.com for all of the links. Grab a whisk and a mixing bowl. We'll be right back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Tune in every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, on Voice America Kids. Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune in to Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. It's time for a Tisket, a Tasket, what's inside my basket? Today's secret ingredients are jackfruit and sriracha. First, let's talk about jackfruit. Jackfruit is very common in Asia and can be found at your local Asian supermarket. The flesh is eaten fresh and used to make different items like jam, chutney, paste, and jelly. The pulp of the fruit can also be cooked as a vegetable, canned, or pickled. The pulp is used to flavor drinks and ice cream. It can also be preserved as delicious candies. They even have jackfruit gummy candies. Jackfruit seeds can be eaten roasted, boiled, or dried and salted as table nuts. Yellow dye can be taken from the jackfruit's wood particles and used to dye cotton. Here is my recipe for turon, or jackfruit and sweet plantain egg rolls. Turon is from the Philippines, and my nana taught me how to make these sweet and crispy dessert egg rolls. The ingredients can be found at your local Asian market. Ingredients: 2 ripe plantains, 1 cup of brown sugar, 1 can of jackfruit, 1 package of lumpia wrappers, and 2 cups of vegetable oil. Directions: cut the bananas in half and slice it thin. Roll it into brown sugar. Lay the lumpia wrapper flat and place 1 plantain slice in the middle. Cut the jackfruit into thin strips. Place 3 or 4 strips of jackfruit on top of the plantain. Roll it like a burrito, bringing one side up and folding each side in, then rolling it closed. Seal the edges closed with a little water. Heat the oil on medium high. Fry each side until golden brown, about 2 minutes per side. Serve hot. Makes 2 dozen. Hey, kid foodies, I'd love to hear from you. Tweet me, I'm at Kid Chef Eliana. Send me your questions and ideas and we'll connect. I'm also Eliana Cook's fan page on Facebook. On Instagram and Pinterest, I'm Kid Chef Eliana. So, you know where to find me. Now, let's explore sriracha. Thank you to Cray Davis for suggesting this delicious condiment for our secret ingredient. Sriracha, also known as rooster sauce, is a Thai hot sauce that was created by David Tran. Over 10 million bottles of sriracha are sold every year. That's a lot! It has been sold since the 1980s. Chili peppers are what make sriracha so spicy. Sriracha has no artificial food coloring because the chili peppers make it so red. The Sriracha Cookbook by Randy Clemens has 50 recipes using sriracha. Sriracha can be used in soups, sauces, spicy tuna rolls, meatballs, and even eggs. Here is a recipe for eggs in Hades, inspired by a recipe my mom and I saw on The Chew with Mario Batali. It originated in Italy and is called Uova all'inforno in Italian. Here is our version. Ingredients: 1 teaspoon of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of onions chopped, 1 clove of garlic minced, 3/4 a cup of crushed tomatoes, 1 teaspoon of sriracha, 1 teaspoon of Italian seasoning, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 a teaspoon of crushed red pepper, 1/2 a teaspoon of white pepper, a pinch of sugar, 1 egg, and a dollop of sour cream. Directions: in a small saute pan over medium heat, saute onions and garlic until translucent. Add the remaining ingredients except the egg and sour cream. Reduce it to the heat to medium-low and simmer for 5 to 7 minutes, stirring occasionally. Crack the egg into the middle of the sauce. Cook the egg until it reaches its desired consistency. Remove it from the heat and serve with a dollop of sour cream. Serves 1. These are really spicy too, just to let you know. You can find all of these recipes on my website, kidchefeliana.com. If you have a secret ingredient you would like me to talk about, you can email me at eliana@kidchefeliana.com or call my U.S. toll-free number, 888-721-5915. Leave me your first name, where you're calling from, and your question. Maybe your suggestion will air on the future episode. You're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Kitchen Tips and Tools. Today's kitchen tip is cooking terms. There are a lot of cooking terms, and I'm dividing them into three shows. Here's the last part, part three. I'm giving you the terms F through W. Sauté, to cook food in a small amount of hot fat. Scald, to heat to a temperature just below the boiling point. Simmer, to cook slowly in liquid over low heat. Skim, to remove fat from the surface of a liquid. Slice, to cut food into even thicknesses. Sprinkle, to scatter dry ingredients or drops of liquid. Stir, to mix ingredients in a circular motion. Strain, to remove solids from liquid, usually using a strainer or a colander. Whisk, to beat rapidly with an instrument that allows air into the mixture, making it light and frothy. Also the name of a cooking tool used for this purpose. Today's kitchen tool is a ricer. A ricer, or potato ricer, is a metal tool that looks like a large garlic press. It has a hinged handle and a large barrel into which the food is placed. Holes the size of rice grains are located at the bottom of the barrel. The ricer is used to process food by forcing it through the small holes. It gives potatoes a soft, fluffy texture. Ricers are often used to create mashed potatoes and the Italian potato pasta called gnocchi. To extend the life of your potato ricer, consider buying one made of stainless steel to prevent rusting. Ricers are not limited to potatoes. They can also be used for other produce such as avocados, bananas, carrots, and turnips. Ricers can also be used to make a German pasta called Spätzle. Potato ricers are also great for removing water from cooked greens. Place your boiled spinach, kale, or collard greens into the potato ricer and squeeze to remove the excess water. That's so cool! I hope you liked my kitchen tips and tools. Here's the recipe for gnocchi with a lemon dill butter sauce. I received a ricer for Christmas from my Nana, and my mom asked me to make gnocchi. So gnocchi is not hard to make, but it is time-consuming, and the little potato pillows of pasta are so delicate. But I love them, and they're so tasty. My dad said my gnocchi were restaurant quality, and he asked me to make them again. My Nana even asked me to bring some over to her house. Ingredients: 5 large russet potatoes, 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 egg yolks, 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons of salt divided. Directions: boil your potatoes for 30 to 35 minutes. Peel the potatoes. Using a ricer, rice the potatoes. If you do not have a ricer, mash the potatoes with a potato masher for 4, making sure that there are no lumps. I'm so tongue-twisted. Allow it to cool to room temperature. Mix flour and 1 teaspoon of salt in a small bowl. Mix mashed potatoes with egg yolks and olive oil. Sprinkle flour mixture over potatoes and mix gently until flour is moistened and dough looks crumbly. Lightly flour your work surface and place the dough on a surface and knead gently to incorporate flour. Knead for about 1 minute and be careful not to over-knead, which leads to a rubbery texture. The dough should feel soft and smooth. If it is sticky, sprinkle a little more flour. Place the dough in a bowl and cover with a clean kitchen towel. Now, actually, earlier I said with a potato masher or fork, and I mean or fork. So, clean your work surface and make sure it's dry. Lightly sprinkle with flour. Tear off a tennis ball size of dough and roll it into a rope about 3/4 of an inch in diameter. Use a knife to cut square pieces about an inch wide. You can now fry them or sauté them in a butter sauce as is. If you want a hearty sauce on top of your gnocchi, create indented stripes all around the gnocchi with a fork or a gnocchi paddle. Bring a pot of salted water to a rolling boil. Place 12 to 15 gnocchi in the water out once and wait until they float to the surface. When they do, they are ready to remove. It should only take about 2 minutes. Remove them with a slotted spoon and place them in a covered boil to keep them warm. Serve with a classic brown butter sauce, pour over the top, and sprinkle with aged Parmesan or any dry-aged Italian cheese. Here's the lemon butter sauce. to go with the gnocchi. It's delicious. Ingredients: 1 stick or half a cup of unsalted butter, 2 cloves of garlic minced, half a lemon juiced, 1 tablespoon of fresh dill chopped, 1 teaspoon of salt, half a teaspoon of white pepper, and directions. In a large saute pan over medium-low heat, melt butter. Add garlic and saute for 5 minutes. Add lemon juice, dill, salt, and white pepper. Reduce heat to low and cook until butter browns. Add gnocchi and turn the heat up to medium-low. Cook until the gnocchi is golden brown on both sides. Garnish with fresh dill and grated Parmesan cheese. Rice those potatoes and knead that dough. We all need a little dough sometimes. We'll be back after this little break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Has your role model let you down? Every day, it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation, our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about 4 times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Spice Detective. But before that, I need to tell you a little something. In the gnocchi recipe, it said place 12 to 15 gnocchi in water at once. It meant to say at once. I use Siri to dictate my recipes, so it probably didn't catch that. Sorry. Well, today, we're investigating one of my favorite spices, cumin. Did you know that cumin is the second most used spice in the world after black pepper? The cumin plant grows 1 to 2 feet tall and is harvested by hand. It is a key ingredient in curry and chili powder. The cumin seeds are the small dried roots of the plant. During the Middle Ages, it was believed that cumin kept the chickens from running away. Here, chicky, chicky, chicky! People also believed that when the bride and groom carried cumin seeds throughout the wedding, they would live a happy life together. I guess we should all give cumin as a wedding gift. Here is the recipe for garlic cumin potatoes. This is one of my favorite go-to recipes for breakfast or dinner side. They are simple and delicious. Ingredients: 6 to 8 small red potatoes cut into quarters, 1 tablespoon of minced garlic, 1 tablespoon of cumin, half a teaspoon of seasoning salt, and half a teaspoon of olive oil. Directions: parboil potatoes for 15 minutes. Drain them. Saute potatoes, garlic, and spices in olive oil for 10 minutes or until the potatoes are brown around the edges and fork tender. Serves 4. It's snacktivity time! Here I give you fun, easy breezy snack ideas. Today's snacktivity is PB&J sushi rolls. These little sushi rolls were so much fun to make. They were inspired by different kinds of kids' sushi rolls I saw on Pinterest. Ingredients: 1 slice of wheat or wheat bread, crust removed, 1 tablespoon of peanut butter, 1 teaspoon of jam, half a cup of Rice Krispies, and 1/4 of an apple sliced into thin sticks. Directions: using a rolling pin, roll the bread out until it is very thin. Spread the peanut butter on one side of the bread. Coat peanut butter with Rice Krispies, making sure Rice Krispies cover the peanut butter. Flip the bread over and spread the jam. Use 3 to 5 sticks of apple and lay them at the edge of one side of the bread. Roll the bread until it looks like one long sushi roll. Use a sharp knife to cut the roll into 4 to 5 sushi rolls. Serves one. Hey, young chefs, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Creative Cuisine. Here's a recipe for my mom's amazing Asian meatball noodle soup. My sister took the soup to work, and everyone tasted it and then begged my mom for the recipe. I came home from school the other day, and I just said, "Why does it smell like ginger and lemongrass, Mom?" She said, "Wow, you must have a keen sense of smell." And she said, "I made Asian meatball noodle soup." I said, "I want some." But I kind of had to wait because we were having it for dinner, but I did have a little taste. Ingredients for meatballs. 1 pound of ground beef, 1/2 medium onion grated, 2 cloves of garlic minced, 2 egg whites, 1 cup of panko breadcrumbs, 1 tablespoon of sriracha, 1 tablespoon of fresh ginger grated, 1 tablespoon of rice vinegar, 3 tablespoons of sesame oil divided, 1 tablespoon of lemongrass powder, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of fish sauce, 1 tablespoon of fresh cilantro chopped, and 1 tablespoon of sesame seeds. Directions: mix all ingredients together and form golf ball sized meatballs. In a large frying pan, heat 2 tablespoons of sesame oil over medium-high heat. Fry meatballs on all sides until brown and crispy. Remove the meatballs and place them inside the soup. Here's the soup recipe to follow. Ingredients for soup: 4 packages of bean thread noodles soaked in water, in hot water, 6 cups of beef or chicken broth, 1/4 cup of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of rice vinegar, 1 tablespoon of fish sauce, 1 tablespoon of sesame oil, and 1 tablespoon of fresh cilantro chopped. Directions for soup. In a large pot over medium heat, pour in chicken broth and all ingredients except noodles. Bring to a boil. Add the meatballs and noodles. Reduce the heat to low and simmer for 15 minutes. Serve hot. Top with a sprinkling of sesame seeds and fresh cilantro. Hey, young chef, it's time for cooking crafts. Here's a fun kitchen-related craft. Today's cooking craft is how to make potato prints. Supplies: 1 medium raw russet potato, 1 plain canvas tote bag, small cookie cutters, paint, and a paper plate. Directions: Step 1. Cut your potato in half. Step 2. Take a cookie cutter that fits the inside of the potato half and push it into the flesh until it goes all the way through. Pull away the excess potato and remove the cookie cutter. Step 3. Dip your shape flesh side down into the paint and get an even coat. Step 5. Press your potato shape paint side down onto your canvas and hold it for 30 seconds. You can make different shapes and use different colors to decorate. Make tote bags, t-shirts, and greeting cards. The instructions along with photos are on my website for this week's episode on KidChefEliana.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at KidChefEliana on Twitter and Eliana Cooks fan page on Facebook. Be sure to hit that like button. I like you, and I hope you like me too. Be sure, subscribe, rate, and review the show. The more reviews we get, the more young chefs we can reach. This past week, it was my mom's birthday. And for her birthday, I actually surprised her. I surprised her with a birthday cake. And she was home the whole time and didn't even know that I made her a cake. So while she was doing all her other stuff on her computer and doing her things, I was in the kitchen. And she told me to start on dinner. So I started on dinner and I was warming up our Asian meatball noodle soup, and I made some chapati, which is like Indian flatbread, kind of like a pita / tortilla. And So when my dad came home, and I asked him to make the chapati, to help me make the chapati, I made the dough and everything, and then I told him I needed to make the mix for my cake, so I told him to just put it on the stove, and I rolled it out and everything, but he did that part. And so she didn't even smell the chocolate. She didn't smell the cake baking or anything. It was so funny. So I'm just making the batter. She's in her office. I said, don't come in the kitchen. And she's like, wow, chapati must take a long time. I thought it only takes a couple of minutes. And so she's like, can I come in? I said, no, not yet. And the whole time the cake was baking. And then when the oven beeped, I turned it off right away so she wouldn't hear it beeping. So she wouldn't be suspicious. And surprised she wasn't suspicious if we were making a cake or not, since it was her birthday. And so I was like, oh, cake's not ready. Put it in for a couple more minutes. And Mom says, is it ready yet? Nope, not yet, Mom. Oh, my gosh, you're taking forever. It's supposed to be fast. Finally, our cake's done, and we put this curtain up in front of my dad's office, and we put the cake on a trivet on the coffee table in my dad's office, and then we kind of pushed the coffee table back so my mom wouldn't see it when she went into the kitchen. And she, like, totally walked right past his office and didn't even know that the curtain was up and closed. I don't know how she just totally didn't see that. And so she came back, and we ate dinner, and then after dinner, she was on her phone, and while she was on her phone, I took my delicious peanut butter frosting, and I frosted a cake so fast. I've never frosted a cake as fast as that. I don't think I've ever frosted a cake that fast. It was so fast. I just dropped it onto the cake, and I just spread it so fast. It was like, oh, I don't want her to come into the kitchen or in Dad's office and see me. So I just spread it all over. It was a little messy, but it was still neat, and I used the spatula and everything. And so then I put these little swirly candles in the cake, and before I did that, I actually took black frosting with a little one of those special tips on it, and I wrote Happy B-Day because I couldn't fit birthday, so B-Day. And then I lit my dad lit the candles for me, and I brought it to her. We sang Happy Birthday. She was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know you baked the cake. I thought you weren't gonna make me a cake. I said, well, I did. And that was so fun. Well, that's all for this week. And I leave you with this quote from famous hockey player Wayne Gretzky. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Kid Chef Eliana with Cool Kids Cook. This show is produced by KidStar on Voice America Kids. Bon appetit. I'll see you next week.
It's time to turn off the oven and close the refrigerator for this week. But be sure to join Kid Chef Eliana for another edition of Cool Kids Cook next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Have a delicious week and keep cooking.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.